Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Okay, let's talk about art for a second, because in the world of contemporary art, very few artists have grabbed the world's attention quite like Banksy, right? Even in the book I was reading recently about Matthew Perry, he was saying he had a load of Banksy art all over his house. Breaking the traditional confines of the art world while leaving his really unique mark on culture and society. Well, this week, a mural appeared on a residential building in North London, with the artist claiming the work as his own in an Instagram post that afternoon. Well, to give us a little more information on the mural in question and the history of the artist himself, I'm joined on the line by Irish street artist Asbestos. Hello, how are you?
Good morning, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for doing this. I suppose it's important to look back to the start of Banksy's career. When did he first appear on the street scene?
Well, I think he was originally probably more of a graffiti artist and then moved into that. So late 90s, he would have been around the Bristol scene, painting graffiti, and then got into more stencil stuff, doing probably one of the first people, kind of first wave of people doing street art.
Okay. Was his work always politically driven?
I think so. He kind of ranges between humour and kind of, I suppose, winding up authority. So a lot of his early work was either kind of, there was a lot of politically motivated stuff. Like even in the early 2000s around the Iraq War, he was doing banners for protesters and things like that. So he's always had a political tinge to his work.
Okay.
Even the Laugh Now, One Day We'll Be in Charge pieces he did on the bridges in London was very much about kind of authoritarianism.
I assume there are people who know his identity.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah,
he obviously has a team of people, and plenty of artists would know who he is, but he's kind of done an amazing job of keeping his identity to himself. And I think like that's just, from what I gather, that's just something that from people who are kind of in the scene and have crossed paths with him, he's just been very clever from the very start. And I think anyone who's kind of got, he definitely has big ambitions. A guy I knew from the Bristol scene said that like in the early days when everyone else was just going out for pints, he'd be sitting up late writing a press release when nobody knew who he was. So he was very, very good at the start of knowing kind of the importance of his work and how he could have an effect. Not necessarily by doing, he did a lot of work, but also making the work that he did get in front of a lot of people.
It seems to be such a difficult task all these years, keep his identity such a secret. How does he do it, or how has he done it for so long?
It seems exhausting.
I think it's probably.
I'd imagine it's lots of kind of subterfuge and building kind of a barrier between himself, probably with all sorts of aliases and all sorts of things. So, like he started out in the Bristol scene, painting graffiti. And like, I think one book that I have from years ago, he used to call himself Robin Banks. And so, like, I think the anonymity thing is also something that's really interesting around art. Like in a day that everyone is so famous, every artist has Instagram, has so many social media outputs, and everyone is photographing each other so much. The idea of being anonymous is almost unheard of nowadays.
Yeah.
So I think as well, as much as people think who he is, you can probably Google it and find out more or less the most probable answer to that. But most people
don't really care.
They don't want to know.
Nah,
yeah,
I
exactly.
don't want to know who he is. That's the whole point of him. But there's been stories about people knocking down walls that display Banksy's artwork, trying to cash in.
Yeah.
What's his stance on this?
He basically, it's kind of really interesting the way he deals with that. He has an organization called Pest Control that validates all his prints and all his artwork. So you have to apply to them to basically get a certificate saying it is that, but he never validates anything that he does on the street. So like even your intro there, you're saying that he put up on his Instagram the image of his work. Like that's pretty much the only way that he is kind of saying that this work is his. Like, there's lots of work out there. People speculate or older work that might be in books or things like that. But he's very adamant about not validating the street works because they're there as ephemeral pieces. They're not supposed to be taken down, and they don't work if they're taken out and put into somebody's shop. Like, I think there's a recent one of a Valentine's Day one last year, the year before, where there's a fridge and there's a woman standing beside this or chest freezer, and I think it's in like a kitchen shop in London or something. Somebody I know spotted this recently. Mm. And it's like, that just makes no sense. So I think the whole idea of like having this kind of possessive value of graffiti and street art is really odd to people in the scene. And this sense that like people want to take them, they only want to take them because they're worth money. Most people who want to take them, they who want to appreciate it, would prefer to see them on the street. And if they get destroyed, it's not really a big deal. Everyone has a photo of it.
Tell me about your crowd now for a second. How is your crowd now? How do you guys, I mean, from somebody from that world, how is he perceived in the art world? I mean, is it the mystery that puts value on his work as opposed to the art itself? What do you think?
Well, there's probably two answers to that. One, like, I suppose, within graffiti and street art, he's respected. I think he's kind of raised the attention globally to an art form and pointed a finger at it. Whether that's for good or bad, I'm not really sure. But he certainly kind of shone a light on it. And I've been doing this since kind of early 2000s. So at that stage, there was very few of us kind of globally doing street art. There was a lot of graffiti artists, but he's definitely shone a light on it. And for a lot of people, that's meant that they've been able to earn a living out of it. So you have to really appreciate that. I think there's a whole kind of question around the way that the art world looks at any art form, like whether it's museums and galleries, but mostly kind of his work is kind of looked at by auction houses and the value of it. And value in art is a kind of a curious mix, because mostly it's people just trying to make money out of it and they value something. So I think he has a fun way of playing with the fact that his work is now perceived to be quite valuable, and he's quite protective of that in a good way. I think he rises the art world as well, because he realizes people are just kind of jumping on a bandwagon a lot of the time trying to make money out of them. And that's part of the reason, I think, that there was a piece he did last year, the year before, where he painted it onto the side of a building and then had somebody bulldoze the building almost immediately, kind of to take the mick out of people trying to steal his work from the street and try and resell it. So he's looked on, I think, favourably by the art world, but then the art world can be quite a snobby place as well.
I can imagine. Let's talk about that piece that appeared in London earlier in the week, for those who didn't see it. Can you describe what it was and the political message behind it?
Yeah, it was, I think it was in Finsbury Park or in Islington, it's a gable end of a wall, kind of a beat up old kind of 2-3 story wall. And in front of it, there's a tree with no branches or leaves, very few branches and leaves on a pollard, a tree that basically has kind of, it's standing right in front of the wall, and he's put a figure on the bottom holding like what looks like a garden sprayer, one of those kind of pump garden sprayers that you kill the weeds with. And the whole wall is covered in green paint that kind of gives this effect that the wall is kind of showing what the leaves that could be there. And it's put up with, it's an old graffiti technique for tagging, which is like filling a fire extinguisher full of paint and pumping it up and then spraying the wall with it. So it's kind of this drippy paint dripping down a wall. And it's quite a funny piece. I think it's one of his better pieces that he's definitely done in the last few years.
But there was a little bit of controversy about the piece, that it resembled work of another artist. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I think like one of the challenges with any artist is the more famous you get, the easier it is to kind of go, that looks like somebody else's work. There's a Russian artist called 0331C who did a piece, I think it was about a year ago, which is very, very similar. But it could be a coincidence. It could be a zeitgeist. Maybe Banksy saw it. I don't know. But like when you're that famous, and when you're a world famous artist, and probably the most famous artist in the world at the moment, it's not unlikely that anything you come up with, somebody else has come up with as well. So I'll probably give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's one of those things. It's very hard to kind of tell exactly where an idea comes from. And like plenty of ideas I come up with, I Google and go, oh, no, somebody else has done it.
Yeah, of course. It was then vandalized a few days later. Did he do that?
Yeah, he might very well have. I think, like, this is a personal opinion, but I think sometimes he might actually do that to his pieces, or kind of ask people to do it so that it stops people from stealing them or taking them off the streets. But yeah, I think there was an article in the newspaper that was saying that the local council's graffiti removal crew had issued a statement saying that they were aware of the artwork and that they weren't going to remove it, which I think is then asking the question, the graffiti removal crew is now arbiters of taste. They're now deciding what's graffiti, what's artwork, and they're deciding that because it's Banksy and it's supposedly worth money, but there's a tag down the street or a piece down the street that they'll come along and destroy because it's not worth anything. And a Banksy, and somebody obviously came along a few days later and threw white paint over it, which I think is quite funny. I think when you come from the world of graph and street art, you put something up and it might be up there for a day, it might be up there for a few hours, but you kind of expect it to be got painted over, and there's that joy of actually kind of keep on having to put more work up and more work up. So
now that sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it was kind of the fun part of it as well. Yeah. Like, I think it's the joy of actually, I think it's one of the most free forms of expression, in that when you make a painting, you then have that painting, you're going to go, okay, I need to sell this, I need to find a gallery, I need to, it needs to go to somebody's house, whereas you can just do something and know I can do whatever I want, and then suddenly it disappears and there's more of a freedom to that. So whoever threw the white paint over it, I think some fan came along and said it was wanton vandalism. I think it's like a vandal vandalizes a vandal's vandalism is kind of the way I was looking at it. It's like one vandal destroys another vandal's work, and somebody's giving out that a vandal has vandalized his work. it's one of those really bizarre, kind of almost surreal moments that, yeah, people need to listen to themselves, I think, sometimes.
So people do buy an original piece and that kind of stuff. They go to pest control and they verify if it is actually a real Banksy. Is that how it works?
I think so. Yeah, it is, yeah. If they do, and like, yeah, they obviously have the records for it. But it's kind of an odd way as well for the art world to work, because usually if you see all of those art programs where they're trying to validate something, the art historians are doing it. So it's kind of a new way that artists are kind of controlling the way that their work is out there, which has benefits, but it also has problems as well, because he could deny that a work is his even though he made it. And that's happened with other artists. Lucian Freud denied that a work that he did, an early work he did, was his because he didn't like it. And eventually they were able to actually say it is his, but he's saying it's not.
Come here, tell me about you. You're doing this a long time. What keeps you motivated, or how do you keep your motivation?
I think it's kind of the reaction you get, the enjoyment of a very kind of visceral artwork. It's sometimes it has to be quite simplistic to get a point across, whether it's a mural down in Cork about housing or the mural on O'Connell Street I did around COVID. Mm-hmm. You have to think about kind of the environment you're painting it in. And I think the nature of doing work on the street is quite immediate, and people react to it in a wonderful way. I love work that kind of is out there, but that people feel that they have ownership of it as well. So like the piece I did in Cork around homelessness with the cardboard box in my head, now protesters down there regularly do housing protests and do workshops making those boxes, and there's like 200 people walking around the streets of Cork with cardboard boxes on their head. So it's wonderful to see how people can co-opt things like that and run with it. That's definitely the thing that kind of keeps me going.
Well, listen, thank you so much for the chat. And if people want to find out more about you and the work that you do, where can they go?
They can go to probably my Instagram or my website, so they'll find me as Art of Asbestos.
Lovely. Listen, have a lovely day. Thanks for the chat. Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.